This morning, as we come to our scripture reading at Genesis 1:26-31, and we will be in Deuteronomy 8, and we might be all over that before it's over with, so we'll move there in a few minutes. But, you know, folks, God created the universe. He created everything. He gives you a description here of how He created it every day. And without going into that, all those days, we know that each day He created certain things. And the last day, the sixth day, He created the animals and He created the human. The human being in His image, He said. And so we got to think about this before we read the scripture. You know, there's a couple of things going on here. So He's created created the whole world, day and night, the dry land from the oceans. He's created everything, and so we come to the last thing, and we see the creation of the human, of the man. You know, I thought about that a lot, and the last thing that He creates is something in His image. But you know, if you stop and you look at a lot of the commentaries and a lot of the different things that you look at, and if you stop and just use some common sense, you would stop and think, He waited until the very last to create man, because if He hadn't, if He'd have created me, I'd have been saying, Lord, wait a minute, let's do this a little different now. We don't need that cow to look like that, or that mule to look as ugly as that mule looks. We need to, you know, let's sharpen that pig up a little. And He would have had us in His business. So He created, and then He created us, and that took us out of His business. As He created us, and as I said, took us out of His business, He said basically to us, I didn't need you. I don't need you to help me do anything. I am God. I brought you into this world. I created you. And I have you here to be my servant, to be my disciple, to be my helper. I have you here to do my work. So, folks, everybody, every one of us is here for a reason. And so we stop as we come to this this new series, and we think about, you know, lots of things, stewardship. We think about money, like Brian said, mostly. But, folks, it's a far piece from money. Stewardship is a long, long ways from money. And as we start in Genesis this morning, I want you to stop and think about, as He has created us, how He created us to not only be here to make money and to live and to be happy, but He created us in His image so that we, as a human race, could take care of His world that He created. It's our duty to take care of the world. Everything around you that He has put you in control of, He expects you to take care of it. He expects you to do something with it. I just glanced at Brother Harold, and Brother Harold's got 4 million blueberry bushes. And he sees after them, and he gives that stuff away. Most of the time, he'll say, come get you some blueberries. You know, I mean, that's... He was given these blueberry bushes. He set them out. He's tended to them. And he blesses so many people. Maybe Miss Jackie does. But it blesses so many people. And so you see, folks, everything that you have is a gift from God. So and if you look at Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, birds in the sky, the livestock, all the animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You're hearing that? Male and female. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea and birds in the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth, and all the fruit trees for your food, and I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all that he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And the evening passed, and the morning came, marking the sixth day. So we all know what happened on the seventh day. He rested. And that's the day that we're here today, and hopefully we will have a little time this afternoon to rest. I understand there's times when we have to work. I understand there's times when we have things that has to be done, but hopefully we continue to take time on the seventh day for God's day. And so then we move to Deuteronomy, the eighth chapter. And we will start in the seventh verse, I think is where we're starting. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is as abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to please the Lord. Be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord, your God, and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built the fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at the time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from the slavery and in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and to test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. I'm going to go ahead and read 19. But I assure you of this. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you also will be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we hear the reading of God's word, and we understand and know that God created everything. He created us. He created everything for our benefit, for us to have dominion over everything, to control everything. So you say, well, Mike, I don't have much control over anything. I don't either. Don't feel too bad about it. But if you really stop and think about it, you will realize that the control that you have is a whole lot more than you think it is, a whole lot more. All of my life, folks, I've been deathly, deathly afraid of a snake. I mean, a lizard don't bother me too much, but me and Randall don't want to be around no snake. But now, I have killed a blue million of them that had no reason for me to kill. So in my later years, I have determined that unless it's a poisonous snake in my territory, then Pete said, don't kill him. And I'm listening to Pete, but it's hard for me to do, Pete. But I've tried to let things live. After I had heart surgery in 97, I came home with an entirely, entirely different perspective on life, because everything that God created and put here, everything is here for a purpose. And he put it here to enjoy its life just like I enjoy my life. He didn't put it here for Mike to decide to kill everything that he didn't like, you know. Everything that bothers me, everything gives me some kind of reason to kill it. He didn't put me here for that. He put me here to take care of the things that are around me. So now, believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe, I don't get as tore up when I'm in the presence of a snake that's not deadly, Pete. I just give him a lot of slack. I move him up out of his way. Let him go on. So the things that we have, folks, to be controllers of, the things that we have that God has created and offered to us. He was telling the people here in Deuteronomy that he's saying that, look, folks, I'm bringing you out of a land of the wilderness. You remember? Do you remember where I brought you from? Do you ever stop and think about where you were and where God brought you to? I do every day. Every day I think about it. Almost every morning, folks, when I wake up and get up, I think about where I was versus where I am. What a blessing. What a blessing. And what a blessing to have a friend called Jesus that walks with you during that day. What a blessing. So you're a steward of everything that you have, your time, the things that live around you, the things you share this earth with. You share your stewardship of these things. And as well with your hospitality, and even with your money. You share everything you have, whether you know it or not, you're sharing with everyone else. You stop and you think, well, not really. And a lot of us, we don't really stop and give it credit that God has blessed us, and we don't give credit that we're going to share it with anybody. But we are. We try to be... We try to show hospitality to everyone. We try to be good stewards of everything that God has given to us. But you stop and you think about these people in Deuteronomy he's talking to. He says, I have given y'all fine homes. I've given you cattle. I've given you everything that does not belong to you. It wasn't yours. If you flip back, chapter 6, verse 10, it says, the Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. They didn't build them, folks. He gave it to them. How many times does he give us something? He's give it to us to enjoy and to use, and yet we weren't satisfied with it. Every one of us. It's not one of us. It's every one of us. How many have started out in a small house and you decide in about 4 or 5 years, well, I need a bigger place. I'll sell this house and get me something bigger. How many of us have said, well, that house is not big enough. After I got moved over here, I have an opportunity to make a bunch of money, I'm going to sell this house and get me a better place. Not because you needed it, but because you what? You wanted it to be about you. You wanted it to show you, show people what you have done. Not what God's done, but what you have done. You know this to be true. I'm not telling anybody anything that they don't already know. Everything we do, folks, we do it so that we can get credit for it. I have built this with my own hands. I have done this with my own, in my own time, in my own money, my own stuff. It's not you, folks. It is God giving you the opportunity, the health, the welfare, anything you need to do these things. God has given it to you. Stewards, from the very word go, He made man last so we could take care of everything that He had created. He gives you the opportunity to take care of the trees around you, of the grass that you decide to mow or not mow. He gives you this for you to decide how to take care of it. What's best for the world? And folks, we hear today all in the news that people don't want you drilling for oil. People don't want you doing this, digging for gravel or digging for clay or for anything. Oh, no, that's going to have an effect on this snail or something. It's going to have an effect on this or that. Folks, God give it to us. It's under us just like it's here with us. And it's okay to take it out. You got to be smart about it. If you've only got a certain amount, it would be crazy for me to just dig it up and be done with it today. That would be crazy. But if you have something that's there, two-thirds of us here probably live on a well. There's water under us. When I turned that water on the last month before I got any rain at all, it was a month. When I turned that water on at night to pump that water out of the ground to water the flowers and water the shrubs and the things that God has given me to take care of, you know, I thought about it. It's water that God has placed under us to be used. He give it to me. It's not mine. It's His. So, folks, we see that when we, you know, see these irrigation systems, they're watering everywhere. In a sense, I might or might not agree with that, depending upon what the situation is. But in a big sense of things, it's God giving and preparing these farmers to be able to feed the world around us. Him taking care of you. I don't have irrigation system. I don't have a farm. But I wouldn't, you know, if I water my garden, it's Him giving me the water to water the garden to take care of myself. But folks, what we're seeing here, we see that these people, they despised after they'd come out of the wilderness, after they had fought the heat, the dry ground that they had been in, the snakes and the scorpions, they had been in the midst, all of this stuff in the wilderness. God had fed them with manna. It says something that your ancestors knew nothing about. I have taken care of you. I have fed you. And God has fed them. He took a flint rock and water came out of that flint rock. Had that been Mike Wimberly sending them water, I'd probably send them fire. Bam, got them every one. You know, because of the way they acted. You know, that's the way we think. But God sent them water out of the rock. God provided for them. And yet, what did they do? They either took credit for everything or they wasn't satisfied. They never was satisfied with what had happened, what they had been given. And that's the world that we live in today, folks. We're never satisfied. No matter what we're given, what we're sent, what God has provided for us, we're never satisfied. I'm more guilty than y'all are, because it's a whole lot easier for me to preach to me than it is to y'all. So you got to know that. So as we see that the Lord has given to them, them being slaves, brought them out of slavery, brought them through the wilderness, and made them stewards of so, so much. And after He's done all of this, they still are not happy as they would like to be. So God says, if you continue to think that everything I've given you and you're not good stewards of it, if you're not going to watch over all of this stuff and you're not going to take care of it. Or if you're going to take care of it and it's going to multiply your gold and your silver, and then you're going to put all of your confidence and all your faith into your gold and silver that you have stored up, then things are going to happen to you. Is that us today, folks? Do we put so much confidence into the gold and silver that we have stored up? We do. We put confidence into things that we have and have stored up. And a lot of times I store stuff up and I think, well, I'll need that. I hope I don't need it. I'll need that in the future. But really and truly, is that putting our faith in God? Not really. It's not. It's just not, folks. You know, you'd like to say, for several different reasons, you would like to say, I do that for this reason or I do that for that reason. But God says that if you are following other gods, whatever that God might be, there is millions of gods out here today. Millions of gods that people are following. I could name from now on things that people follow. People put their trust in. People think that that is what their answers, that is the answer. It's not the answer, folks. It is not the answer. Our answer is in our God and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes it's hard to believe, but it tells us right here that he says, if you're going to follow these other gods, worshiping, bowing down to them, you're going to certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you also will be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. As we stop and we think about all the blessings and all the things that we have and have had handed to us, are we truly obeying God? Every day, do you feel like that you have obeyed God the way that he would have you to that day? Or do you feel like everything you've done today, I want to do it so that others can see what I've done, and I want to show others what I'm all about, what I can do? Folks, we have a whole lot of that built in us. We have a whole lot of it built in us. And it doesn't matter what it is. If somebody says you're the best at it, you want to show somebody else that you can do it as well as that fella thought you could, or even better. That's the way we are. There's a few things that I've been told that I could do as well as anybody could. And when I do find something that I've been told that to, I try to show as many people as I can that that's the truth. There's many things, folks, we do every day for a living. There's many things that you will do, and you've been given, talents to do, and that's where we'll go here in another week or two. We're going to talk about our talents and about other things. But there's many things that God has provided for you and given to you. As a steward, you're a steward of that. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with your gifts? What are you doing with your money? What are you doing with the things, the animals and the creation around you? Folks, we just need to stop and we need to realize that if we all abuse everything around us, if we all abuse it, there won't be any sooner or later. You know, when I was a kid and Dad, he didn't care for us hunting and fishing. He didn't care at all. We'd go hunting and fishing whenever we wasn't working. He didn't care. And that's what we usually done. But he always said, when you go hunting, boy, if you're not planning on eating it, don't kill it. If you don't want it, give it to somebody else. But make sure whatever it is you're hunting, that if you kill it, somebody gets a benefit out of it. Don't just kill it to be killing. Now, I wished I could say that I had lived into that 100%, but I can't. I can't tell you that. But today, I try my very best that if I'm hunting and I'm not planning on eating it, I know who will eat it. If I'm fishing and I'm not planning on eating it, and I'm not because I don't eat them things, and they're nasty, but and I'm not planning on eating any fish, but I know a bunch of people that will. So I can give them away if I clean them. So that's the thing we have to know, folks. There's so many things in this world that we've been made stewards of. So think about it as you face the day tomorrow. It's not about writing a big check and putting it in the collection plate. That's not what it's all about. If there's a need there, it might be. It's not about what people see. It's not about what people think of you. It's about what you and God, it's between you and God and what He thinks of you. He knows your heart. He knows everything about you. He knows if you're taking care of the kingdom that He's given to you. He knows if you're proud and you don't really think about Him, you're thinking about what you can and cannot do in life, and you're thinking about how am I going to get ahead to do better. I'm not thinking about that maybe where God has placed me here today, it might be that He's placed me here for others, not for myself. How many of you ever think about that? I sure don't like to be where I'm at. I've thought about that a lot in my life. I'm not liking this. I'm not liking anything about it. Well, maybe the Lord's saying, I don't really care if you like it or not. You're here for others. You're not here for yourself. You're here to serve this job, this vocation, and it's for other people. I've had to stop and think about that a lot in my life. And you say, well, I'm not serving anyone. I know I pulled a reefer trailer one time for quite a while. And to me, that's worse than really a hog trailer that Richard Wilson put me under. But anyway, I pulled a reefer trailer. And I said, why in the world, Lord, am I put here to pull a reefer trailer? But stop and think about how many people I fed pulling that reefer trailer. How many people was fed out of that one trailer? A bunch. See, God had me there for a reason. I didn't know it. I didn't understand it. But He did. And I bet you Hired would tell you the same thing, that when he pulled that reefer, he really couldn't understand why he's pulling it, but he knew that there was a reason. And yet, he brought a lot of people food. So, folks, no matter what your occupation might be, wherever he has you, wherever he's given to you to do at this given time, do it in the name of God. Be thankful for it. Give him praise. And stand back and watch the blessing that he may have for you. But if you forget him and forget who's doing it, know that he says, I will certainly destroy these people. So if you're going to be all about you, he's not going to be with you. Know that. Especially to the younger people. Know that as we go forward into this world and into this life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.